We invite all of our friends, if you can, join us and stand as we read the Bible. Out of respect for the Word of God, if you're on the job, as many of you are, I know you can't do that, or you should not do that. But if you're in your home, some of you are gathered around one device in certain countries, in the 10s, 20s, 30s, 50s, 100s, join us and stand out of respect for the Word of God. Of Forgotten Faith, Part 2, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 16. Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, a very striking passage. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, God said, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. That's what God did for his children, the Israelites. And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, Where is the Lord? They forgot me. And they that handled the law knew me not. They didn't even know me. The pastors also transgressed against me. And even the prophets prophesied by Baal, all of my spiritual so-called servant leaders forgot all about me and forsook me. This is God speaking. This is his word. And walked after things that do not profit. One of the reasons why God hates sin in our lives is because it is unprofitable. It does not move the ball forward in life, in your life. Verse 9, Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. My God, we thank you. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for revealing to us in your word your heart of love for all of your children, all of the Israelites, and those who believe in Christ in this day and time. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace, and the millions of blessings that you have bestowed upon us and pleasures that you've given to us down through the years. And Lord, The truth is, we have done the same thing the Israelites did to you. Back yonder, they are our example, and unfortunately, we are repeating what they did. We have forgotten about you, of a forgotten faith. Lord, we confess our sins of disobedience, of forgetting about you and your goodness, your grace and your mercy, our rebelliousness, our pharaohistic pride and stubbornness and disobedience. You made it very clear, Lord, as one writer put it, those who obey you are on one side, proving that they love you. Those who disobey you are on the other side of that line, proving that they don't love you. For you have made it very clear to all of us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, for many of us, our love has waxed cold, for we're not obeying you and the whole counsel that you have presented to us. And so, Holy Father God, forgive us, have mercy and grace upon us. Forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults, for those of us who are truly saved and truly want to be forgiven and truly want to repent. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our evil ways, to seek your face and to get back to you, Lord Jesus, our first love. And help us to be the shining lights and witnesses that you want us to be in this sin-cursed world in which we live. Save those who are lost, revive those of us who are saved, and glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son's name, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, another great hymn. Another great hymn, popular in the black church, that, by the way, was written by a white brother, is A Charge to Keep I Have, by Charles Wesley. I cannot tell you why there are certain hymns that the black church has claimed for their own in a very special way. But there are certain songs written by our white brothers in years gone by that black folks just took them over and made those songs their own. The writer, in some cases, and the old white saints, if they visited some of the black churches, would not even recognize the song, because we as black folk, we have stretched it out. They may sing it in 4 minutes. Black folk will take it and sing it for half an hour and be shouting and dancing and waving their handkerchiefs and giving God glory and praise. Black folks will take it and have a call and response session. And will stand the whole time while they're singing it. One of those songs is A Charge to Keep I Have, A God to Glorify, by our dear brother, our gifted brother, Charles Wesley. And I had the joy and privilege of visiting John Wesley's home, Charles Wesley's home, the home they grew up in, the church their father preached in, and What a wonderful experience that was. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save, and fitted for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care, as in thy sight to live. And oh, thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Go ahead, Charles. Help me to watch and pray, and on thyself rely, assured if I my trust betray, I shall forever die. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. I've heard that song many times in the black church, and I assure you many black folk don't know a white brother wrote it. We're joined together whether we want to be or not. And this is our common faith. As I preach in your hearing, the lost souls of black folk and white folk. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to help set this message and series up, regarding this passage that I just read in your hearing, Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck of Dallas Theological Seminary, gifted men of God, said, Jeremiah's first message confronted Jerusalem and Israel with her waywardness. That's where we are today. That's the word, our waywardness, the lost souls of black folk and white folk. To emphasize this, Jeremiah contrasted Judah's former devotion with her present departure from God. And that's where we are in America today. There was a time we were fully devoted to God in Christ and to the church. But we are seeing a great departure from God, from Jesus Christ, and from the church today. We have forgotten our faith that helped build the greatest nation in the history of the world, outside of Israel, and we did it with the faith of Israel. We call it the Judeo-Christian ethic and way. At the time of the Exodus, Israel loved God and followed him through the desert. You have to understand, they were not walking through tulips. There's a whole lot of tulips talk today, particularly in the Dallas area. Evidently, people love tulips. They were not walking through a garden of roses, man. God led them through a desert. There was nothing, and God brought that out in this passage. Israel had her lapses of faith when she murmured against God in the wilderness wanderings, but God, in his grace and forbearance, passed over her. Yet for the most part, she had remained faithful as a nation. Israel had been set apart as holy to the Lord. Just as the first fruits of the harvest belonged to God, so Israel had been chosen as the first nation to worship the Lord in a very real sense. Those who devoured her were as guilty as those who ate of the first fruits dedicated to God. And God would bring disaster on them. Israel's faithfulness to God, however, did not last. And unfortunately, our faithfulness to God in America has not lasted. Jacob, a synonym for Israel, followed worthless idols, forgetting their faith in the Lord, forgetting that the Lord had led them through the desert and through the wilderness. And we don't emphasize enough the desert and the wilderness. God led them that way to show him, to show Israel that he is God. And then led them into a fertile land. And that's when they began to forget God. And the people defiled the land with their idolatry, forgetting the God who brought them through the wilderness and the desert. And so many of us as black folk and white folk, we have forgotten our faith in God in America. And as I told you earlier, what we do, the nation does, I'm talking to primarily Christians, and what America does, the world does. Whether you want to be leaders of the world or not, dear black Christians and white Christians, you are. And we have forgotten our faith in God, and we need to do what the song we sung earlier today tells us to do. We need to go back. We sung the song, Take Me Back Today. We need to go back to our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made it very clear. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jeremiah singled out the three groups charged with leading the nation. These are the priests, the pastors, and the prophets, and exposed their lack of obedience. And so, if you will, my beloved, it's not just the church as a whole that God has a problem with. God, my beloved, has a problem with the pastors who have led the people in the pew in the wrong direction, away from God. The prophets, the priests, who were to instruct the people in the ways of God, did not know God. As so many today don't even know God. They see the ministry as just another profession, like becoming a lawyer or something. They've never been called by God in the first place. I have shared with you in the past, I believe with all of my heart, if over 50% of the pastors would resign, we would have revival. I'm convinced. The people in the pulpit, not the pew, are holding up revival. So why does revival tarry today? Because we have false prophets and false preachers and false pastors and false so-called priests. in the pulpit. And sadly, the people in the pew, the parishioners, are so ignorant, they love to have it so. The priests who were to instruct the people in the ways of God did not even know God, nor did the pastors, nor did the prophets. That is, they themselves did not have an intimate relationship with the one about whom they were teaching. They were not born again, if you will. That's why you always hear me say, when I'm talking to Christians, I'm talking to people who are born again, who are truly born again and saved. It's a shame. You can't just say Christian anymore. Are you a born again Christian? Are you saved? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God? Are you willing to obey the Word of God? Are you willing to confess your sins when you are convicted by the Holy Spirit of God about your sins? And Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck go on, the leaders, literally shepherds, were not only the spiritual leaders, but the political and civil leaders appointed by God to guide and protect the nation. In the early history of Israel, this function was fulfilled by judges. But later, the duty was assigned to kings. Ironically, the ones who were to lead Judah were themselves in need of correction. They rebelled against the one who had appointed them to their task. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophets were the third group charged with leading the nation. Pardon me. But instead of declaring God's words of rebuke and correction as God had commanded them, they prophesied by Baal and urged the people to follow worthless idols. And I touched on this yesterday, how that we have thousands of false prophets, self-proclaimed prophets, who are saying everything but what God told them to say from the Word of God. And people are flocking to them. Baal was a Canaanite little g god of fertility, whose worship was a constant thorn in Israel's side. How about it, dear Christian friends? Do you see yourself in this picture? Pastors, evangelists, prophets, so-called priests. Many don't even know God themselves. They have never been born again. They have never been saved. And they're in the pulpit. No wonder they are committing suicide. No wonder hundreds of pastors quit. They've never been saved and they have never been called. Somebody lied to them and said they would be a good preacher. You look like a preacher. You got a head like a preacher. Honey child, I want you to be a preacher when you grow up. That's why I called you Isaiah, named you Isaiah. But God never called them. And we have pulpits and leadership positions filled with people who have never been born again. They have never been saved. And so therefore, I believe we have many people in the pew who have never been born again, never been saved. We have churches that they've never preached the gospel. And they don't preach the gospel now. It's all about politics. It's all about social causes. It's all about what we can do for you and what you can do for me. And we will dig down deeper into this in days ahead. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, for a clear understanding of it as the foundation is being laid. And we pray now, Lord, for the thousands and probably millions of souls who have been misled, who have been deceived, who have been bamboozled, to think that they are saved and they're not. In churches across this nation of a forgotten faith. And Lord, have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know your Savior. Those who are in the pulpit and in leadership positions in your church who are lost, open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls and help them to get out of the pulpit, get out of the ministry, and leave your church to you to do your will. Help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. For those of us who are truly born again and we have fallen away from you, Lord, help us to repent. Lord, you know your own and they know you and they know who they are. Help us to confess our sins and to repent and to get back to you, Lord, our first love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now for those of you who are truly born again, for those of you who are saved, everybody in the church is not saved. Everybody sitting in a pew every Sunday morning is not born again. They're not a child of God. Everybody sitting in the pulpit is not saved, is not born again, is not a child of God. So, dear friend, if you are a born-again Christian and you are listening and you are watching today, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your sins, your own sins. You already know what they are, your besetting sins, the weights that you cling to. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm only talking to people who are born again and they know that they're saved and they know that they're wrong. Pray for them that they would confess their sins and repent of their sins as well and get back to their first love, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, pray for souls to be saved, even in your church. No doubt over half the people in your church, including half the pulpit crew, are lost and on their way to hell. Over half the choir, maybe 90% of the choir, is not even saved. They just like music. That's their thing. But they've never been born again. Pray that they get saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost. And you can start writing your own church. If you know that you're born again and saved, start witnessing to people right there in your own church. Visit them. We used to call it visitation. And ask them a couple of questions and see what they say. Now, beloved, if you are with us today, pardon me. If you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin and the punishment of sin in hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. As we talked about earlier, hell is a place of continual punishment. The pain will never end in hell. That's how bad sin is. So hell and the lake of fire and hell fire is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to live a life of hell. You can live a life of peace and joy. Yes, you will have trouble. But the wonderful thing about it is, once you are born again and saved, you can have peace and joy and contentment in the midst of your trouble, and go to heaven when you die. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, no matter what you have done. You might be listening and watching behind prison bars because of a crime you committed. God still loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shall be saved. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. You don't have to even get baptized to be saved. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for my sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead on the third day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell fire forever. Saved to what? Saved to be with God and Jesus, the saints and the angels in heaven forever. It's a great deal. I call it the eternal life insurance policy, paid for and signed by the blood of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. So trust him as your Savior today. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Follow me in prayer, in what we call the sinner's prayer, and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have taken your holy name in vain. I've committed the sin of idolatry, of putting other things and other people and people before you. I've dishonored my parents at times. I've lied many times. And I've stolen things before. And Lord, even if I didn't do anything physically, I lusted after people and things in my heart. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, and forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, that he suffered and he bled and shed his blood on the cross and died for my sins. Was buried and rose again from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, for Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, who died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and has taken away the sins of the world, including yours. If you have believed on him, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know, or wherever you might be on, whatever site you might be on, respond there. There is some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. By God's grace, we love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.